Right, time now to catch up with Jeff from A Cellar Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Ready for another exciting weekend, Matt?
Oh, yes. Well, we are open, Peter, and if you can believe our premier, who waffles like a breakfast cereal or a breakfast waffle, we'll probably be able to actually do a straight wine tasting. Right now we're doing wine and cheese because we are licensed for food as well, a cheese and olive tasting plates. So, I doubt seriously, Peter, whether they're enforcing much about the details when you get out into the bush, in which we are, of course, about the numbers of people. We try and maintain social distances and that, and we never get really overwhelmed here, but still, you know, that this reason's got to return pretty quickly to everything, since we're down to next to nothing, Peter, compared to the world. You know, we're disease-free or virus-free or whatever you want to call it. I mean, we have so many other more serious things that kill more people, you know, that outbreaks, and we don't take any notice of them at all, like the hepatitis A that we talked about and various other things that are floating around in the community, some of them very slow active, like, you know, like tuberculosis and AIDS, of course, and they're all loose in the community, and you know, other types of problems, Peter, and you know, we just we learn to live with these things like we do with those diseases, malaria, Ross River fever, and now this what the heck, Zitnan, what's it called, this new one up in Queensland, came out of South America, causes problems for pregnant women, and it's rife, you know, in Northern Australia. It's not as rife as it is in South America, but you know, they haven't shut down Queensland, and they've had quite a lot of cases up there, Peter. Zeke, what's it called? Zeke, whatever it was.
I'm not sure of the name, mate, so I won't pretend
you
I
won't
know.
Comment. you know, we learn to deal with these things, Peter. And, you know, we got to learn to live with the coronavirus, as we've said before. You know, we have no cases, Peter. 1, 2, 5, 3, 1, 7, 9, you know, whatever.
Well, there you go. You've just picked your lotto numbers.
I should do that. You got a bigger chance of winning that, Peter, than you do of catching coronavirus, you know.
Yeah, so. They've discovered, I noticed on the news this morning, that they're saying, you know, people coughing and sneezing is still, by all means, keep washing their hands and everything else. But that's the main reason people get it. We had a fellow on the bus who I turned around very bluntly and I said, mate, either put your hand over your mouth or we'll help you.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, the social norms have changed a bit. I think we'll probably go back to shaking hands, but I think the old days, and I have a video on my the Cellar website, Peter, of one of my birthdays recently, where I have a very good way of blowing out your birthday cake. I think the days of having somebody slobber all over a birthday cake blowing out candles should be long gone, Peter. I think it's a very silly habit and very dangerous when you've got all sorts of infections floating around, especially during flu season, whether it's a coronavirus or not, you know, flu season.
Mate, I'm just wondering, do you grab the vacuum cleaner and put it on blow instead of suck, and then it blows out the candles?
You know what I did, Peter? I think there was six candles. I think it was my 65th. Might have been my 70th. And it could have been seven candles. All I did is I just went, pow, with my hands, clapped them right over the candles, put every one out the first time, Peter. There's a video on Facebook.
And I'll have to have a look at that. I'll have to have a look.
Yeah, and you'll see that I got every candle on the first clap, Peter.
Well, yeah, that came out a bit wrong, but however.
However, that's what I'm promoting. I'm promoting, you know, I would say the compressed air in a can, but, you know, there's too much moisture in compressed air anyway. As you
that's
know,
right.
Once you expand compressed air, of course, it it creates a lot of moisture. So I'm pushing this, Peter. You just get over your candles and you go pow, and puts them all out at once.
I like compressed air in a can. You know those little starters they use now instead of guns. You know, that has a double version. It makes everyone shut up and you blow the candles out too.
And some of those, but of course, are meant for cleaning keyboards and things like that, which are not a really good idea because you're blowing moisture into your computer, into your keyboard.
it's amazing what they come up with in them.
I know. You better to go over your, if you're going to do that, go over it with a vacuum cleaner. Pull it the other way. Don't put it under pressure in, because underneath your keys on your laptop, Peter, of course, you have total access to your computer. As anybody that spilled a cup of coffee on their keyboard knows.
Islands in the stream.
Exactly. So, anyway, we are open, Peter. Beautiful day today. We had nice rain overnight, and we do need it. It's been fairly dry the last month. There's been the odd little fall here, but we had a bunch of people last weekend. Not normal, because they were all locals from Newcastle, Central Coast, that type of thing. The Sydney people haven't really returned, the city people, to the Hunter yet, but it'll come. And we'll happily welcome them when they do come, Peter.
I think it's lovely that you've got the cheese plates there as well, because, you know, you're having a tasting in it. That's almost like a celebration.
It is, Peter. Look, wine and cheese, you know, I mean, they go together, so well. And
I thought of a slogan, wine and cheese, always to please.
Yeah, we'll get you a new job, Peter.
I'm not trading in this one. I like it.
Anyway, some interesting things happen. I think we're just about beaten coronavirus to death. One of the interesting things is, but that the medical journals, of course, for the last month or month and a half, it's hard to find anything that didn't have coronavirus in it somewhere. I don't know what research was going on, was all focused. By the way, it was the Zika virus, Peter. I looked
that,
it up.
Now I recall it. But when you first mentioned it, I've forgotten its name.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it's essentially caused more problems than coronavirus will ever cause, because birth defects and lifetime effects, Peter, and miscarriages and all types of other things. So, but anyway, as I said, even the research institutes, universities are going off the coronavirus, Peter. 4 weeks ago, or three weeks ago, probably more than half the abstracts coming out of these research facilities, something to do with coronavirus. And now it's probably down to, 15% or something, one in five, one in four, one in five, one in six, something like that. So there were a few interesting things, and another study. You remember we did a study, we talked about a study a while back about people that live near fast food outlets, and the more you live by. This was an Australian study. They showed the statistically, and maybe it was different, because this study that just came out today showed that fast food, how you live in relation to fast food and outlets and gymnasiums, has no bearing in the first case on obesity, and in the second case on how healthy you are. People that live next to gyms don't necessarily go in, Peter.
Right, but the people who live near fast food definitely go in.
Well, they found no correlation, this study, but the one in Australia did. Remember, we did that about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And they found the more fast food outlets that were in your neighborhood and the closer you lived, the more likely you were to suffer obesity. So this one said, no, that's not the case. So you don't know what to believe. Just stay out of them, Peter. Just for general
have a good
health.
Wholesome, what was I going to say? Have a good, wholesome, what's the word? Breakfast.
Diet.
one word. And the same as your wines, of course.
Yes, exactly. There was another study which was kind of interesting. They have managed to halt Alzheimer's in this research and to actually reverse it in some cases. And they actually had a drug that achieves what these researchers found 40 years ago. And I don't think they had the scientific backup for it, but it was definitely an Alzheimer's drug, and it did work. The trouble is it caused liver problems, but they've proven now that what that drug's aim was actually does work. So now they're searching for a new drug, because it doesn't only stop Alzheimer's, Peter, it reverses it. So it's a complex, you know, the way they do it, and I won't bother going into it, but I think it's an interesting piece of research. So we've got to keep our eyes open, Peter. We're all getting up to that age. We've got to grab everything that we can.
I tried that and she slapped my face.
Yeah. Another one was interesting. A bit of research came out that they found that fasting and vitamin C, this came out of University of Southern California, of course, which is a leading, world-leading institute, especially in cancer research. We've had probably, you know, half a dozen programs on various research that's come out of University of Southern California. They got a great football team as well, Peter.
But, now we know where all the money goes.
Exactly. Yeah, they found that fasting and vitamin C stops the growth of cancer. And in some cases, in their tests, and we're talking mice now and rats and all those types of things, mostly human DNA, that it actually reversed the growth of tumors, shrank them, regression, they call it. And they said even if you can't fast because your, you know, cancer's ravaged your system, if you go for periods of time on low calorie leafy diet while taking vitamin C, it has a similar effect. So
that's amazing.
It is, and I think that's something that it costs nothing, and you know, a lot of people, as we know, unfortunately, personally familiar with, you know, suffer from cancers, and seems to be our disease of this past century, maybe hopefully not the next one, because we're smarter now, we eat better, and we understand it a little bit better, and we can maybe use drugs to stop it.
Well, so, Dr. J will love you because he's got vitamin C and lots of other natural products. And I take the vitamin C, so something must be right.
Yeah, we did that show on vitamins, you remember. And vitamin C was the only one of three out of about 40 vitamins that they had in this study that they found didn't have a negative consequence.
Yeah, well, and isn't it strange too, because your body can't store it. You've got to keep on taking it.
Yeah. I have a whole grapefruit now. I'm a bit worried about
it. I thought you were going to say you have half a grape. I was going to say, how do you cut it in half?
No, every morning, because remember we did that show, the study that showed, I think it was 19% reduced risk of a stroke, Peter, if you eat grapefruit every morning. The study was actually on women, but I can't imagine that men are that much different. So I've been taking my grapefruit because I love grapefruit, and I used to have it all the time when we lived in Canada. They don't grow it in Canada, but they import it from California. Right. And so about a year or two ago, when we did that show, I've been back to having my grapefruit.
Oh, I got a frog in the throat.
Okay, well, put him back in the drain.
Yeah, I'm going to kick him out. He didn't pay his rent.
Yeah. So, so I take the grapefruit. And, of course, they're very high in vitamin C as well, Peter. So I get a super dose in the morning of vitamin C. There's another study here that I want to quickly cover here as well, Peter. And this one I found really interesting because, and it was easy to study. It's easy for the people that did the study because when I tell you what it is, there are a lot of countries where you can go where this is prevalent and you can measure statistically. And the title of it was Dairy-Rich Diets Linked to Lower Risk of Diabetes and High Blood Pressure. So and what they found was, and I've sort of given it away, milkshakes all the time. And there was sort of, a thing maybe 20 years ago that dairy wasn't that healthy for adults. And you remember that?
People yes, were yes, I do.
Yes, and now they've found, and this was a pretty big study, they tracked 190,000 people over nearly 10 years, Peter. And at least two servings a day of dairy, that's yogurt in the morning and I guess even ice cream at night, but maybe something a little healthier than ice cream.
Yeah, I don't love yogurt, particularly Greek yogurt, yum.
I don't know if milk. I don't know if milk in your coffee qualifies as a serving, Peter. But anyway, they were associated with a 24% lower risk of metabolic. I'll get it right in a minute.
Spit it out there, Jeff. Spit it out.
Yeah, of metabolic syndrome, 28% for full-fat dairy. So full-fat dairy is a little bit better than low-fat. So we're talking, you know, like 24 to 28%, Peter, and that's a heck of a difference.
You'll say.
So we got to go back. A little yogurt in the morning, Peter. Everybody, get your yogurt out, or for lunch. And you know, we're okay here with our 6 cups of coffee, Peter. That's equivalent to